Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the 13th Amendment.
So grab your ratification.
And let's get civical. Everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I am Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And I feel like I have, I don't know if I sound this way, but I feel like I have a kind of raspier voice today.
Oh.
Because last night I went to Medieval Times.
I heard about this.
I was sort of messaging with your girlfriend about it.
I heard about this.
She didn't realize it was still a thing. And I said, nope. Caroline, I need you to be getting the car and making your way to Jersey.
Yes, I think thanks to this conversation, I will in the very near future be going to Medieval Times. So thank you very much.
And you're welcome in advance. Let me tell you, and I'll spend one, this is my 1 minute pitch about Medieval Times. A well-oiled machine.
Oh, sure.
It is a well-oiled machine. You get a three-course meal,
what?
The juiciest chicken I've ever had in my entire life.
Oh, shit.
You have
okay.
to eat it with your fingers because we are, period.
Oh, my Lord.
And then during that, you're like, watching horses do tricks and there's a falcon, spoiler alert.
Oh my Lord, okay.
And then once dessert hits, honey, then it's time for the joust. And you sit in a section, like whatever section you're in, it has a color. So there's like, I think there's six in total. So I was in the red section, but there's like red, white, yellow, okay. blue, green, you know, the whole thing.
Sure.
And so you cheer for your knight. So we were cheering for the red knight, who ended up being bad. But
that's
still,
just so much fun.
But so much fun. I mean, you know me. One of my superpowers is if you tell me who we're rooting for, I put my body and mm-hmm. soul behind it.
Oh, it is game on.
It is game on.
Mm-hmm.
It is game on. It is live or die
yes.
for me.
Uh-huh.
And so you watch them joust and then you watch them sword fight and you're like, kill him! Kill him! Cut off his head!
Knock
him
off his horse!
Yeah, my worst base self came out. And, you know, of course, like surrounding me is like 8 to 9 year old celebrating birthdays and I'm like, slaughter him! Make him bleed!
That's amazing.
But it rocks.
Wow.
It rocks. It's a whole thing.
That's amazing. I am very excited to go. I will share with you where we went yesterday, which was Philadelphia. little different.
Okay. Hey, a lot of history in Philly. I would know.
Yes, well, you and Kyle have done the day trip to Philly.
We did a day trip to Philadelphia and went to Betsy Ross's house. What did you do?
We went to a Columbia women's basketball game.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
We traveled for sports. We have and do travel for sports. This is the second game that we've done. So they're like in conference play right now. Obviously, it's the season. Obviously it's the season. This is the second time that we've traveled for an away game.
Love.
Yes. The first time we went to Princeton. And now this time we went to Philly. I was not well behaved in Princeton because it's it's like Princeton is the top team and then Columbia. So it was a very
intense
game. Yeah. And I was there were kids around and I was like, fuck you, ref. And Caroline was like, there are children and you're yelling swear words. And I was like, I don't fucking care.
I mean, famously, my father got thrown out of my sister's seventh grade C team basketball game.
Yes.
For heckling the ref. So that's the lineage I come from.
Yes. Yes.
And let me tell you, the apple's not falling far from the tree. I can already feel it.
I told Caroline, I was like, just be, because she played sports. That was like her entire childhood up and like young adulthood. I was like, just be glad you do not currently play them. And that we are going to the like sporting events of people we don't know, although we've now met like we've met parents of the players because we're like making friends and and they're like, hey, how you doing? You're here too. You're here again. We're like, hello.
Yes.
Yes, we're here. Supporting.
Till the end.
Till the end of time. We will be here.
Hello.
But I told Caroline, I was like, just be glad you no longer play because imagine this.
Oh my God.
Supporting you. I couldn't. Could you even imagine?
No. I mean.
I would not. You would need like a glass box.
Arden, when I have kids, somebody's going to have to like sedate me. It's going to be bad. It's going to be like a fifth grade spelling bee. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be like, fucking ref.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean? That's not how you spell mahogany.
Of course there's like two H's. Come on.
Of course there's two H's.
Come on.
Read a fucking book.
Oh my God. I was yelling shit at the Princeton refs like, check your wallets. Check your wallets. For your, like, you know, like, stuff. Where was I coming up with this?
I don't know.
I have no idea. It was insane.
Spirit takes over.
Spirit takes over. I was much better behaved at Penn yesterday because we creamed them, so there was no need to be angry.
It's easy. Once you get to a certain level, you're like, oh, I have nothing to prove.
I have nothing to prove.
I don't, for me, it comes from a place of like I'm coaching. Like I'm in coach mode when I'm watching.
Yes.
And so if we're doing well, I don't have to coach.
I can
sit back. I'll have my drink. I'll have my nachos. I'll just sit back. But if we're not doing well or it's close, mommy's coaching.
Yes. I mean, and we were sitting right behind the team yesterday and it's like the Columbia coach is tiny and I would be very afraid of her. She yells. Sure. She yells a lot. I mean, she's probably a very nice person. She just yells a lot and she swears. And she was yelling at the ref. I mean, not like yelling at the refs, but she was like yelling at her people about the refs yesterday. And at one point she was so angry. I think they called a travel on somebody and it was not really a travel. But it was like the 12th thing that had happened.
Yeah.
And she turned around. She's like, I don't know. She's got to be like 5'2", but like just at a 15 all the time.
Sure. 6'5" energy.
6'5" energy and like a 5'2" body, 100%. Mm-hmm. She turned around to like her team and she like just the anger like pointing out through lasers of her fingers. And she was like, what is his name? Like just about the ref, just anger. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. See, that's me. Like I'm with Coach Megan. I am with Coach
Megan.
Rock and roll, Coach Megan. Rock and roll. Love.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad we both had similar emotional experiences.
Albeit
different settings.
Different
settings, different settings.
But like we were both sitting in stadiums of sports.
Totally. Screaming.
Screaming stadiums of sports. Totally. Yes, 100%.
Yes. And our topic today has sort of absolutely nothing to do with
There's no way to segue.
But I will say it has been quite a long time since we've done an amendment. Like that feels big. It feels intense, especially this one. So big, so intense.
It's very big, very intense.
Like one of the ones that you, I would hope, we generally learn about in school.
Yes.
You know, it gets mentioned commonly because of what it did.
Yes. I was surprised we had not done this one before.
Did I check?
I checked too. I was like, 13th Amendment into the Google Drive. Nothing came up. I like took out the TH on the 13. I was like, maybe we didn't label it.
I searched the number 13.
100%. I was like, really? We've never done the 13th. We've done the Emancipation Proclamation. We've like talked
We've danced around.
I was like, okay.
Let's do it.
It's way past time.
It's way past time.
To talk about the 13th Amendment.
Exactly right. Hell yeah. Before we jump into this meaty sort of prolific amendment, do you want to tell us about the sources for today? I see a lot. I'm excited.
It's a very source heavy episode today. The first source is just Congress.
Congress,
the Archives of Congress.
We called and we were like, hey, give me everything you have on the 13th Amendment.
On the 13th Amendment. What do you got? It was a great article by two professors, Jamal Green and Jennifer Mason Mickleward from the Constitution Center.
You know I love them.
Great. Love the Constitution
Center. Love the Constitution Center.
Also just the Senate Archives.
Yeah.
Love. We love them. And the National Museum of American History and Culture.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Great sources. So let's jump on in. First of all, what is the 13th Amendment? Let's just say it, shall we? The 13th Amendment prohibits slavery and involuntary servitude in all places subject to U.S. jurisdiction, except when imposed as punishment for a crime for which a person has been duly convicted.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get like...
Yeah.
But, like, that's weird, right?
It's weird. It's why you can have, like, chain gangs.
Immediately after that, I'm like, wait, there can't be an except. There can't be an except.
There's an except. There's an except. If you're a convicted criminal, fuck off.
We can do whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not good.
Yep.
Ooh. Okay. All right. Here I am buckling my seatbelt.
We'll talk about it again. It comes up again, and we're going to talk about the lasting effects of the amendment. We'll talk about it.
Okay. Super. Off to a smashing start with this.
Yes.
Proposed by Congress and ratified by the states in the wake of the Civil War, the 13th Amendment was the first of the three Reconstruction Amendments. So, this is how I learned about the 13th Amendment was in context with all three of them.
Yeah.
It was like this one, the 14th, and the 15th. They all did these three different things and all had to do with the end of the Civil War and slavery and all of that.
Yeah.
Together, these amendments aimed to safeguard the rights of newly emancipated slaves and ensure that states accorded due process and equal protection of the laws to all persons. Great.
Sure.
Unlike the other Reconstruction Amendments, the 14th and the 15th Amendments, and indeed the rest of the Constitution, the 13th Amendment's prohibitions applied directly to private individuals in addition to government actors.
Yes.
So it's talking about literally the people.
The people.
The people.
You and me, everybody that steps foot in, that is an American citizen, that's in the United States. People.
It's so short.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's the thing about amendments. Is that some of these amendments, like this one, this is a huge amendment.
Yeah.
This is truly tackling something that is so big. And granted, there's the 14th and the 15th that like also supplements it, but like you would think that you would be given more than one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
This is one sentence. To basically say, no slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
It's a lot.
What?
Yeah. And in a way, it's great. Because all of, like, we have all these bills now that are thousands of pages that
totally
say, like, except in the case of this, especially in the case of this, except when there's a hill involved.
Totally.
And there's water underneath it. You have
obviously
to do environmental,
XYZ,
which are good. Environmental.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
But no, like, but it's just like the difference.
You cannot enslave. Slavery and involuntary servitude are no more.
Or no more.
No more. That's it.
Talk
Done.
About cutting Done. Through the bullshit. Mm-hmm. This is one sentence.
Yeah. It has a qualifier. The sentence includes a qualifier. If you're a convicted felon. doesn't apply.
We can do whatever we want, mm-hmm. which again is like, uh-oh. But like, Jesus Christ, it sure. never occurs to you that these amendments that like,
yeah,
whole, like, you know, well, especially when you think of Supreme Court cases, and granted, I don't think there's a ton of Supreme Court cases coming about the 13th Amendment specifically anymore. I may be wrong, but like ones about like the first or second, whatever.
Yeah.
You have how, like, when you think of like the amount of pages, like a dissent and an opinion is about something, and it's based on an amendment, which in the case of the earlier ones, especially, are like a couple of sentences.
Yeah.
And then we have dissertations that are just like, this is what the founding fathers mean when they used this one word. In this two sentence amendment. And I disagree. It actually meant this. And here's 100 pages about what I think it meant.
Right.
It's, I mean, this is when, like, you know, my mind starts imploding. I'm like, this is crazy. This is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Okay.
But so succinct. So succinct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about how the amendment got passed, because it did take some work. It took some work. Not everybody wanted the 13th Amendment.
Tell
surprise.
Tell surprise.
So, despite the bold commitment to equality in the Declaration of Independence, slavery was legal in all 13 colonies in 1776. Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. By the start of the Civil War, 4 million people, nearly all of African descent, were held as slaves in 15 southern and border states. Slaves represented 1/8 of the U.S. population in 1860.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Many people think that slavery ended with the Emancipation Proclamation, which was issued by President Abraham Lincoln on January 1st, 1863.
We've done an episode.
We have done an episode on that. It is very good. Not to toot our own horns, but here we are. Beep, beep. We're going to toot because it's our show.
Mm-hmm.
So go listen to that. However, the Emancipation Proclamation freed only slaves held in the 11 Confederate states that had seceded, and only in the portion of those states not already under Union control. Which is kind of crazy because he's basically saying, like...
Rocks. You
keep, like, slaves in the states that we have no say or jurisdiction over, you're free.
It's really, I mean, what? I'm sure we talked about it in the Emancipation Proclamation episode, but it's really kind of baller.
It's baller.
To be like, hey, be free. Hey, you over there, you're free. And like, imagine being Robert E. Lee being like, fucking excuse me?
Yeah.
This is my country now.
Right.
Abe.
Or shall I run this.
Babe. But Abraham Lincoln's like, I don't care.
No.
Free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the shit we did.
That's why he's called Babraham Lincoln.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about swinging for the fences.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's so,
it's ballad.
Just great.
Mm-hmm.
When you see like historical great politics at work.
Yes.
Because obviously, like, it doesn't. The Emancipation Proclamation is so symbolic. Like, it didn't, as we're talking about, it didn't do anything because these are people who were in places that were not under the control. But, like, the mentality of it, like, the mental impact.
Right. And also because it took a while for the information, like, we talk about this in the episode, it took a while for the information to get to the people in those areas.
Right.
And it wasn't until, like, months later that they were like,
what?
Oh, we're free?
It's such
okay, a... Okay, well, what do we do about that? Like, how do we actualize that?
Yeah.
Like, that's great in theory.
It's like, it's honestly...
How do we get that to be real?
Right. It's like psychological warfare, almost.
Yeah.
And not in a negative way, even in a positive way. If, like...
Right.
I'm gonna give people hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Abe. Jeez Louise.
You had me at hello.
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 You had me at 40. Good Lord.
While Lincoln waited until late 1864 to publicly support an abolition amendment, he was quietly supporting it behind the scenes, though. Radical Republicans, like the senator from Massachusetts, Charles Sumner, and Ohio Representative James Ashley, called for such action in 1863.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always people ahead of it.
Yeah, yeah, these people were ahead of it. This is a little bit like the, was it LBJ who was like, I'm with you, but you got to make me do it. Like, you got to make me do the civil rights. All the civil rights stuff that you want me to do, yeah. I'm with you, but, like, you got to force me to do it.
Yeah, it's politics.
It's politics.
It's politics. It's like, look, I agree, but we got to do this in a certain way. Right. So, like, publicly, this is what you got to do. Privately, this is what we got to do.
Right. Sumner and his allies applauded Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, but they believed the wartime measure did not go far enough. Instead, they demanded what they termed a constitutional guarantee of perpetual freedom. Yeah.
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 Yes.
Yeah. Because also it only applied to some people.
Totally. And it was also just like it didn't have teeth.
Right. Right.
You know, like it's almost like a dedication of what we're going to do.
Right. 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 Here's my promise to you.
Right.
It's a campaign promise, which is nice.
Exactly.
It's nice to know what your intentions are.
Totally.
But that doesn't guarantee me that I'm going to get my freedom.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Such debates shaped the language of the amendment and influenced an evolving definition of equality. In late 1863, Sumner became chairman of a new committee on slavery, where he hoped to consider all proposals for abolition. On February 8, 1864, he introduced his own constitutional amendment, asking that it be referred to his committee. I love this. He's like, I've got my own idea. Here it
is.
I would
love to take it into consultation with me.
With me. I'd love to, for me to look at it and approve it.
Go off, King. Go off. Like, that's how I would do it.
He's like, I'm sick of this slavery shit. I want it gone. My idea is the best, and I'm going to approve it.
Great. I would love to just bring it under advisement to me, by me, from me.
From me.
And then we'll be able to present it.
This is great. I don't see anything wrong with this idea.
No.
The Judiciary Committee chairman, Lyman Trumbull, objected, insisting instead that his committee must consider such proposals.
No need to be mine.
It's mine. It's mine. We're having a pissing contest.
Totally. It's the war of the committees.
It's the war of the committees. It's the war of the committees. I mean, in this instance, I'm a little bit like, okay, maybe the guy with the idea should go to the other committee. But like, also, this is about people's freedom. So who the fuck cares?
Right. Let's get this done.
Let's get this done. Like, who cares what committee it goes to?
Right.
The Senate sided with Trumbull, and Sumner's radical views stirred action, but they also made enemies.
Quote, ain't that the truth?
Ain't that the truth? I mean, of course, this guy's like, I want all these people free and I want it done yesterday. Do you think these people in Congress and in the Senate during this time were like, yes, of course we should do this now.
Absolutely.
I am so sorry.
I love that idea.
I am
Sumner.
So sorry.
Charles,
yes, you're
on and finger on the pulse. Let's do this. Why didn't we think of this before, actually?
No.
Gosh darn it, Charles.
I'm surprised this guy was alive walking around saying this shit.
Wow.
Because, quote, here we go. Quote, if I could cut the throats of about half a dozen senators, confessed William Pitt Fessenden of Maine, Sumner would be the first victim.
Hell
yes. People wanted him dead.
Hell yes. You forget. Mm-hmm. You genuinely forget that, like, back in the day, these guys, these senators, these congressmen, they were messy.
Uh-huh. They're back alley fights with
back alley fights.
Yep.
Punching each other in the face.
Yep.
Being like, you're not a gentleman. Boom.
Yeah.
Rocks.
Yeah. They just to say this shit. I've got a hit list and this motherfucker's on it.
Mm-hmm. If I could kill them. And also I like that he's like, if I could kill six people, that would be great.
Very specific. Six.
Six people.
Uh-huh.
And number one is Charles.
Number one is Charles. Because I hate his ideas.
Because I hate his guts.
Yeah.
Because I hate his guts.
I hate his guts. Because of what he wants to do about slavery. Not even about, like, you know, some kind of honor thing where, like, he offended my name or he slept with my wife or whatever. Mm-mm. I hate his slavery ideas.
I hate that he wants to abolish slavery. Mm-hmm.
I want him
to. I want to slit his throat. And that's the other thing. Slit his throat.
Slit is very specific.
It's messy.
It's messy.
That's a messy way to go.
That's a messy way to go. Yeah. Many supporters of the abolition amendment feared that any association with Sumner could undermine success because he was so radical in his belief. He was like, everybody should be free.
Everybody should be free. And they're like, whoa.
What is the problem?
hold on, Charles. Yep. You're about to get your throat slit. Get mm-hmm. a grip.
Right. And so people didn't want their throat slit because they could be the other five people.
Totally.
On Trumbull's hit list.
Yeah.
From not Maine. Trumbull, not Trumbull. They could be one of the other Fessenden. People.
Fessenden.
On Fessenden's hit list.
Yeah.
Thank God. Maine. No event. No, nothing against Maine, but like, come on, buddy.
Right. It doesn't. What fit was your big issue? Character. I know. What's going on in Maine?
What's going on in Maine?
So by January of 1864, the Senate Judiciary Committee was debating and drafting the amendment. Sumner's proposal for absolute, quote, equality before the law, end quote, was, say it with me, rejected. It was too much.
Yes.
Making all persons, quote, equal before the law, end quote, argued one senator, might lead to dangerous consequences, such as, drumroll please, the biggest nightmare of them all.
Oh my God.
Providing voting rights to women.
Women. Very scary people. We cannot let them anywhere near the voting box.
I can imagine this senator.
Emotions will run rampant. What will we do?
What will we do? I can imagine this senator. He's like,
also,
he's standing up. He has the floor. And he's like, gentlemen, to make all persons equal before the law could lead to the destruction of this nation by giving votes to women. And then everybody's like,
it's a caricature.
Like, he said it.
He said
Macbeth. He said the cursed name. He said women in these hallowed halls.
You're not supposed to mention them.
You're not supposed to. You cannot say it. They who must only not
by
be
their
named.
Archetype job, mother.
Mother.
Wife.
Wife. Mm-hmm. Sister.
Sister. Sister.
Seamstress.
Yes.
Oi, oi, oi.
Milkmaid.
Milkmaid. Oh, my God. I love it. I love it.
My God.
I mean, talk about, this is the other thing I appreciate about this time period. These guys really said the quiet part out loud.
Oh, yes, yes. They had no problem.
No. They were like, if we free the slaves and give everybody equal rights, if we literally say equal before the law, all persons are equal before the law, we're going to give women the right. We're going to give women rights. Yeah. And that would be a catastrophe for this nation.
Right.
And just like, I mean, on the one hand, I mean, obviously it's like, this is insane. But right. On the other hand, I'm like, well, at least we know where you stand.
Right. At least we know what we're dealing with. Like, thank you.
There's no smokes and mirrors here.
Right.
It's just simply bigotry.
It's just bigotry. That's it.
Go off.
Yeah.
Instead, so, you know, Charles was proposing equal before the law, all persons equal before the law. The committee was like, can you even imagine women getting
the chaos.
To vote?
My
Get
God.
A grip.
They would elect donkeys.
Yikes. Instead, the committee approved more modest language that echoed the Northwest Ordinance of 1787, which said, quote, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted shall exist within the United States.
Yes.
So instead of equal before the law, everybody, they're like, neither slavery nor, like, let's get actually very specific about
right.
what we mean here.
Instead of like a very permissive amendment, it's
right.
an kind of like an exclusionary amendment. Thank you.
Sure.
I've had a problem with words this week.
That's all good.
An exclusionary amendment that just names what it doesn't want.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Or it's like only this. This mm-hmm. only applies to this.
This.
This only applies to slavery and involuntary servitude. Don't ask us about women.
No.
Because the answer is, are they slaves? Are they involuntary servitudes?
Then this doesn't concern.
This doesn't apply.
No.
This doesn't apply. They're women.
No, they're women.
Let them be. Let them be. Let
they
them
don't want to vote anyway. It's
they don't
too
vote
much
anyway.
On the brain.
It's too much.
It's too much to remember.
Too much
They're
to remember the
delicate,
feeble-minded.
Feeble-minded
totally.
Creatures.
Totally.
Barely human as it is. We couldn't hold credit cards in our names until what? 1991? Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Something.
LOL. Shout out to my credit card. On February 10th, 1864, Trumbull reported the amendment out of committee and full Senate debate began. So they agreed on slavery nor involuntary servitude as the language.
Yep.
Fears, of race mixing and social upheaval issued that figured prominently in the later House debate were largely absent. So that's actually kind of surprising.
Yeah, they didn't think of it.
They were just like, you know, whatever. I mean, I guess like the House is more and it just feels more. That's where you get your real tricky ones, because the Senate, yeah, it's only two people per state.
Yeah.
And so I think you can, I mean, not nowadays, but I can see it being more almost moderate in some instances, yeah, than in the House, where you get like your polarizing,
yeah,
like in more numbers ends, right, of the spectrum.
Right. You have more people and then you have somebody who represents a more specific district as opposed, yeah, to two people who represent a very large geographic area who,
right,
in theory have to be more moderate to be elected by, right, that entire geographic area.
Right.
You know, like, so, yeah. I mean, that kind of makes sense. They also, yeah, you know, the Senate did away with the woman thing. That was their major concern. So now, yeah, they didn't, you know, they weren't thinking, like, about,
did you address the woman thing? Okay, fine.
Okay, fine.
I'm not, well, we're not going to worry about that.
Now leave it to us to address the race mixing, because that's, yeah, clearly an issue.
Yeah. Well, rather, senators argued over the constitutionality of uncompensated emancipation, the nature of federalism, and the propriety of adopting the first constitutional amendment in 60 years. So it feels like they're caught up in, like, the admin of it all.
Yeah.
They're like, logistically, like, how does this work?
Right. They're like, we didn't do this before. These all happened. Logistically. The first ones happened many a moon ago.
How do we do our job?
Right.
Somebody get out the books. Amendment?
Get out the books.
Can somebody call John, mm-hmm, over at the library and just make sure that we're sort of doing this whole amendment thing right? Because, yeah, I really want to make sure we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's here. Love that. Love that that's what we're bringing to the floor while debating the 13th Amendment.
Yes. It's very, very good. I mean, at least we're concerned about it.
Sure. Again, let's get our ducks in a row before we send it off to the House.
It could have been a real, you know, Ohio State situation where Ohio is not a state until many years later.
Totally.
Could you imagine having to retroactively put slavery, make slavery illegal? Oopsie-doops, forgot to sign that one.
Sorry, my bad. That's on me. A few radicals sought ways to empower the freedom with civil and economic rights, but most senators agreed that abolition alone was the goal. Quote, we give the black man no right except his freedom, end quote. And that was explained by Missouri Senator John Henderson. We leave the rest to the states, is the rest of his quote. So he's basically saying, all we're saying is that they're free.
Yeah.
The states can figure out what to do with them individually, yeah, from there.
Right. We're not giving them money,
insane.
We're not giving them land, we're not giving them anything. Like, we're just giving them their freedom.
Yeah. You don't have to be a slave anymore.
Right. Where they, what they do next,
yeah,
not our problem.
Whatever Texas does with you,
mm-hmm,
that's up to Texas.
Yep.
On April 8th, 1864, the Senate took the first crucial step towards the constitutional abolition of slavery. Before a packed gallery, a strong coalition of 30 Republicans, 4 border state Democrats and 4 Union Democrats joined forces to pass the amendment 38-6. Whoa, whoa, wee, whoa.
Yep.
It's like a pretty big margin.
It is a big margin, yeah.
I mean, I guess we did expel all the senators who were from the Confederate states.
That's true. So they weren't a part of this, so.
So it really helps when you just get rid of
when
the riffraff.
When you get rid of the competition, that makes it easy to do, yeah, what you
want
to do.
I do forget that. Like, we totally were like, hey, if your state seceded, like, bye.
Bye. Yes.
You don't get to come to work anymore. Mm-hmm. You're fired. That's so funny. Okay. Well, great. It passes the Senate.
Yeah.
In the months that followed, 2 test votes failed in the House, and the amendment was sidelined by the national election. Then, in December, representatives convened a lame duck session to renew the debate. This set the stage for action in January of 1865 by the newly reelected Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Yes. So Lincoln's back for 4 more years. No yes. spoilers about what happens there. The Congress and the Senate are like, you know what? Now's the time. We're lame duck. We've got Babe for 4 more years. Mm-hmm. Don't knock on wood. And we're going to get this done now.
Yeah.
We're going to get this done now. This now done it's now. Back to the top of our agendas.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we don't have to worry about God knows who taking over the presidency.
Now we can do something about it. At last, on January 31st, 1865, the House passed the 13th Amendment. Though not needed as a symbolic gesture of approval, President Lincoln signed the document and sent it to the states for ratification. That's nice. He was like, yes, I do approve. That's great. I would do that if I was president. I'd be like, fuck yeah.
Well, especially something as big as this. This is what he's been working towards. Like,
oh,
if I have gone through the civil freaking war and have turned out victorious and have been like propelling the nation that has split itself into towards the freeing of slaves, you betcha I'm going to be signing the document.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be putting my name on that. It's going to be John Hancock. It's going to be B A B E Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
That's going to be like 50% of the page.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's going to say, get a copy you're and frame welcome. It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to take some red lipstick. I'm going to put it on my lips and I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Done. And then I'm going to send it to the states.
Yes.
Then I'm going to send it to the Confederate states and be like, that's a wrap on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
see you
a
at
wrap
the party.
On that.
See you at I'll the party.
You, I'll see you at the holiday party.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck next time.
Mm-hmm.
Check it again. Mate.
Try it again.
Mm-hmm. Try it again. I dare you to make me pull this car over.
Mm-hmm.
I dare you to make me. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Go off, babe.
Yep. Initially, ratification seemed a given.
What do you mean?
By the end of March, 19 states had voted for the amendment, and then the process started to get bogged down, and by April 14th, 1865, which was the date that President Lincoln was assassinated, only 21 states were on board.
Oy.
Yeah. And they needed 29.
They need a 29.
Mm-hmm.
And then enter literally stage right. John Wilkes Booth.
Hold on. I think they needed 27.
Still.
27.
They're so
they needed
close.
27 states. 27
they're
states.
They're so yeah. close.
Yeah, they're close. They're close.
And we got drama queen John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coming up here because he's pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? So suddenly, because of the aforementioned assassination of Abraham Lincoln, Vice President Andrew Johnson, himself a war Democrat from Tennessee, was in the White House. He found himself suddenly president. Johnson was staunchly pro-union, but he was less passionate about ending slavery.
Uh-huh, bet you were. Ooh, don't go. Don't get my blood boiling about old Andrew Johnson.
I know. Abolitionists were relieved when Johnson used his power as the chief executive to force Southern states to ratify the amendment as part of his Reconstruction policy. Okay. 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 We like this. Seems a good positive thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
On December 6th, 1865, nearly 12 months after President Lincoln had ceremoniously signed the document, Georgia became the 27th state to ratify the 13th Amendment.
Thanks, Andrew. Thank you for doing that and then sort of ruining everything else after
that.
Thank you for doing the bare minimum only to do the absolute worst maximum for the rest of your presidency, dear Andrew Johnson.
Dear Andrew Johnson.
Dear Andrew Johnson, I wish you ill.
Well, good thing he's dead. The 3/4 of the states needed to make the amendment law had finally been reached.
Huzzah!
Huzzah! Slavery is ended. Slavery and involuntary servitude.
Involuntary servitude. Just those things.
Just those things. Except in some very specific circumstances, which we're going to talk about, which will be very upsetting.
Uh-oh. Okay. Well, let's talk about the lasting effects of the 13th Amendment. The most immediate impact of the 13th Amendment was to end chattel slavery as it was practiced in the southern United States. Makes sense. However, the amendment also bars involuntary servitude, which covers a broader range of labor arrangement where a person is forced to work by the use or threatened use of physical or legal coercion.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm gonna itch. For example, the 13th Amendment bans peonage, okay, which occurs when a person is compelled to work to pay off a debt. Ooh, originally a Spanish practice, peonage was practiced in the New Mexico Territory and spread across the southern United States after the Civil War.
Yep.
Former slaves and other poor citizens became indebted to merchants and plantation owners for living and working expenses. Unable to repay their debts, they became trapped in a cycle of work without pay. And kind of, again, interesting.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court held this practice to be unconstitutional in 1911 with the case Bailey v. Alabama. Ooh, we got to cover that.
I know. We might do that next. That sounds
Houston,
great.
Houston, write this down. We got to cover that. Yeah. I mean, it is... I'm glad that they include this in the 13th Amendment. It almost, it feels like, oh, I wouldn't have thought to think of this. You know, I just, you think, like, when we think of slavery, we think of something very specific, but actually, like, there were different arrangements kinds of, that all caused the same horrible problem.
Right.
So I'm glad at least, even though this amendment is one sentence long and purposefully excludes various groups of people as well, included this. And so it like closed a loophole.
Yeah. Most scholars also assume it would violate the 13th Amendment to order specific performance of a service contract. So an example of this situation would be where an employee has a contract to work a full year, but wants to leave after 6 months. Forcing the employee to continue work instead of paying a financial penalty to get out of their contract would almost certainly violate the 13th Amendment. Okay. I had no idea that was even like that. I mean, and that's like a real world.
Yeah.
Today.
Totally.
Applicable circumstance. Good to know. Notably, the amendment does allow a person convicted of a crime, we've talked about this, to be forced to work. This is the exclusion. Thus, prison labor practices from chain gangs to prison laundries do not run afoul of the 13th Amendment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The 13th Amendment has also been interpreted to permit the government to require certain forms of public service, presumably extending to military service and jury duty.
Wow. Yeah. So this is kind of how, like, the draft is legal.
Yeah. Yeah. And how
yikes
the courts can make you go sit in the room.
Yeah.
And for it doesn't days violate. On end or yeah. take over weeks of your life and pay you, I don't know. And I learned in Texas, jury duty pays you $6.
Oh, yeah. I think pretty much like across the nation, it's not great.
Oh, it's not great. But I recently went for jury duty in the city and it's $40 a day. And I
do you know?
In Texas, I learned it's six.
$6. We love it.
And I was like, that's even less than a minimum wage
for an hour. Yeah. No,
what?
We rock. I love Texas and being from Texas and everything about it.
God.
But do you know I still have never been called for jury duty? In my life.
Don't release this episode. They'll get you.
I've been saying this for years.
They'll get
you. I've said this before. I like
How
at
is
this
that
point
possible?
No idea. no idea. I'm like, there are some days when I'm like, did I miss it? Am I in trouble with the law? I'm waiting for like a letter.
You would get like the big card, the big red card.
Wow. Nothing. I have never been contacted for jury duty.
Wow. I've gone 3 times.
Well, I'm sort of like, I want to get it out of the way so I can like have that buffer that you get when you do serve. You're like, okay, you won't do it for another like X amount of time.
Yeah.
But I'm just waiting with like a knife over my head. Like, all right, it's going to. And you know that they're going to put me on something that's like 6 weeks long.
Well, you can't, if it's something like that, not that I want to say you can get out of it, but they can only require you to be available for 2 weeks. So if they know that it's going to be more than that, they'll go through a whole process and like, gosh, it will come up and you can be like, because the first time I went to go serve jury duty, I was 24 and working hourly jobs. I had no money. And this guy was up for like, he was charged with like, I don't know, 2 counts of dismemberment, 3 counts of murder, 2 counts of whatever. And I was like, oh my God, if I had money, I would be try and get on this case. Like this.
Did you see me start smiling?
I know. I was like, if I could do it, I would do it. But they like, they make you go, for this particular court, they made us go up to the judge and like, tell them in person why we couldn't serve.
Yeah.
And I went up and I was like, you know, a baby in New York and like basically crying. And I was like, this will bankrupt me. Like if you make me serve, I will have no money.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, that's not really our problem. And I was like,
yes, it is.
I will have no money. I will not be able to buy food. I will not have. And he was like, okay, you're dismissed. I was like, fuck off. Like, I know you can't, but anyway, yeah. But if it's something like that, like in general.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. It's usually once you go, whether you serve on a case or you just go for the day or whatever, it's 7 years buffer that you get. And I just did it.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll go.
Maybe
I'll
it's go. Brooklyn.
Maybe I don't
it's
know.
That it's Brooklyn. I mean,
what, you think we don't have crime in Brooklyn?
No. I just, maybe there's like, I don't know. The cases are, there's more people. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, I'm government of Brooklyn. I'm waiting. And I know you want me. Because when you think about it.
Yeah.
It is on my journey to be what is it called? A foreman?
Yes. You would be a great foreman. Yeah.
You think I'm not going to read the verdict?
Oh, 100%.
I was born for this.
Mm-hmm.
We find the defendant guilty.
Guilty. Guilty.
Had that G come from deep within the throat.
Deep. Guilty. Deep guttural from the belly. Guilty.
Guilty.
Yeah.
On counts of one, guilty.
Guilty. Yeah.
Guilty. Anyways,
yeah.
All that to say, that is our episode on the 13th Amendment. I would say overall, we really needed this. Mm-hmm. Could have gone further, for sure. Shout out to us for sort of stopping more progress from happening. Shout out to us for that. But with that said, that is our episode, and we love you so, so much. And if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. As always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.